Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Will y'all stand up, honor Pastor Matt as he comes up? I love this man of God.
Yeah. Sunday, Matt Steingard. Oh, so.
I love this man. He's amazing. His heart for community and family. We're trying to marry off one of our daughters to his son so we can fit into the family sometime, somehow, so we can just hang out more. I think that's... So anyway, so we got first dibs. Anybody who has daughters, whatever. All right, Pastor Matt, here, give us a word.
Yeah, amen, brother. Thank you. I actually have a surprise. We got a camel out here. Just hold on. No, I'm just wouldn't that be fun? Maybe that'd be a little dangerous. Wow, I think that was like one of the most epic introductions I've ever had. Just that deep voice. It's like, and now. No, I can't even. No, I'm not even going to try. How you guys doing this morning? Yeah? Just getting situated here. But you guys are just awake and alive. It's 9:55. I didn't mean that to rhyme, but it did. And so there's that. Journaly thing. There you are. That's literally what I call my journal, is the journaly thing. And this is where I put my stuff, my thoughts. And then sometime I get asked to come and speak to you guys and bring the message. And I'm like, whoa, I'm so blessed. Now I got to organize this stuff into something. God, you're a source. That's a good start, huh? Let's do that. Well, Father God, you are so, so good. Thank you for that revelation this morning that you are such a good dad. You're so good. We can't even comprehend it. You're better than we ever could think or imagine you are, and you just keep blowing our boxes. So would you do that this morning? And you bring good gifts, so we just put our receivers out, God. We just say yes to your word, and we let it just soak into our hearts, God. In the name of Jesus, let your presence be here. Amen. Now, so I've started cycling this past year. Anybody like do like exercise stuff like that? You know, running, biking, going to the gym. I know Talon D, they like rep the gym. Like Annie goes and she's like, oh my gosh, like Talon D are like lifting like 500 pounds. I'm just kidding. No, but they're like, that's, they just know how to like just steward their own bodies. And to, I mean, they're just like amazing. Like, I want to be like you guys when I grow up because they know how to take care of themselves. And so that's one of the things I actually had been like running for several years and just realized like it's too high impact for my knees. So I started biking. I didn't think I'd like get into it, but I went like full in, like, yeah, tights and stuff. It's weird. Like shoes that like lock into the pedals, and which are like crazy. And you know, like, yeah, if you ever just go down the 101, you might see me there. Cause it's, I love it. I really got addicted to it. I switched over, because I still wanted to like stay healthy and stay active. But I also will like commute. So that's one of the things that my buddy like lives down the street. He's a coworker and a friend of mine, and he'll like ride 8 miles to work and 8 miles back. And so I just was like, you know what? I can do this. And it's scary. The traffic, man. Like we almost got hit a few times. But you know, I get there and I get back and I get like my notification on my phone, and it's like, bling, you like did all of the things by like 9 o'clock this morning, like all your steps, all your exercise, all the calories, all that burning. And my legs are burning at the same time. It's like, it kind of works together. And it's kind of funny that like God speaks through so much, and he speaks through like my exercising. And he's been just like putting this word into my heart, and like I'm still kind of like brewing inside for like a year now. I've been biking, and it's the word sustain. and sustainability. Now, I know, like, when you think of, like, sustainability, it's like, it's a super hot word right now, right? Like, it's like, oh yeah, I'm sustainable. I grow my own vegetables, you know, on the top of my apartment, and, you know, I don't have to, like, go to the store because I have my own tomatoes. I'm sustainable, guys. I'm sustainable. You know, I'm like Elon Musk, and I'm, like, making electric cars, and I'm also going to make solar panels out of shingles. And my house will be so sustainable that the sun literally powers my house and my car. What? Like, that's crazy. Sustainability is just, it's really, really wild because all these creative ideas are coming out of it. And there's something in our culture in this day and age that's like crying out. Like, we want sustainability. We want something that doesn't just run out. We don't want to just like flare out, you know? I heard recently someone say that sustainable means being used without being used up. And I feel like that's God's heart for us, is to thrive, right? Is to thrive, is not to be used up. But what I want to do today is I want to take us through this kind of journey of like three signs of a life at a sustainable pace, and use kind of this cycling thing is an example, I guess. The three things I want to go through are a strong support system, healthy habits, and fruitfulness. So that's kind of where we're going today, is these are kind of like the indicators of a sustainable pace in life. And a strong support system is kind of like what you're allowing into your life, right? What are your sources? What are you pulling on? And honestly, the reason why I started cycling was because of my coworkers. There's a couple guys that were like, dude, you like could totally do this. And they just started like encouraging me to go out, and like we would ride around the office. There's like, we're over by like Palomar Airport, like Bressy Ranch. You guys know that area? There's like a Trader Joe's, like a neighborhood. And a lot of cyclists go around that area and do this like loop. And it's not easy though. There's like a ton of hills, like Melrose and Alga and all that kind of, there's that park with the skate park and stuff, the Alicante area, where like there was some fires a few years ago, and it's super hilly. So I didn't just like hop on like the 101 and just kind of like cruise. Like these guys are like, nah, you can totally do this. And the fact that I was like so supported as a newbie just got me encouraged to like, oh, okay, I can do this. And as I started going along and trying it out and, you know, trying to like keep up with them, I got addicted though. Like, I'm not competitive, but when I know that there's like, when I can finish something and have that sense of accomplishment, I'm like, let's do it again. I'm going to do this again. I'll go on my own. I'll go at like 7 a.m. and the sun's like just coming up and you go down those hills and it's like, it's freezing. And then I come back up and now I'm like, okay, I'm sweating. Like, but it's so important to have that support system around you to keep that sustainability going, and to have those around you in community, as we always say here, we're family, we're community, to pull out the greatness in you. That they see that and they go, well, I know your goals. I know your heart. I know like what you want to accomplish. And so I'm going to hold you to it. And you're like, you are a good friend. You know, my wife is like that too. She just knows my heart and goes like, no, you can rise up. You can do this, right? Spouses, hey, I saw that down there. They can point out the areas of improvement for you. You know, sometimes they really like to do that. And you're like, oh, that hurt. Oh, okay, hurts so good, right? Because it's like they're cheering me on. They are cheering you on. They desire the best for you to have that support system and to cultivate that. Now, oh, I needed to get this ready, and I did not. But I wanted to kind of give you guys kind of a sneak peek into how our worship community supports each other. And this is sort of like a behind the scenes. I'm going to kind of reveal some secrets about how we stay together, how we support each other. And yeah, behind the scenes, let's go. No, I'm just going to run it from my phone. I was going to plug it in the sound system. It'd be all fun. And I just didn't put that together. But I'm just going to play from my phone. This is a song that we haven't played in a while. It's God's Great Dance Floor. So if you feel like grooving, it's only going to be a couple seconds here. I'll just put it towards my microphone here.
Intro, 2, 3,
what is that?
4.
So you can hear this like clicking. That sounds kind of annoying. What's going on right here? We've got this like click track is what we call it. It's a metronome.
Two, 3.
And that guy, like, interrupting me. I'm like, hey, silence. I'm trying to sing. I'm trying to worship. It's actually, it's a tool. These are two things that we call the click track and the cues track. And what they do is the click keeps us together on the beat. And if you've like learned music or you see like, you know, someone, especially the classic examples when you're sitting at a piano and you see that thing just going, and it keeps you on time because as musicians, we get excited. We get amped. We're worshiping the Lord and it's hard to like not speed up in those like moments in the chorus and rush ahead. And then we're like, oh, pull it back. And so it's actually, we've actually had to work at staying on time. But we have our headphones in for monitors, and we all hear this click going, and we it helps us not to lag behind either. And then the cues keep us together in the journey because we're in this journey together in this song, and we also want to steward what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so there's times where we need to know, oh, we're actually going to like repeat that thing, or we're just going to go spontaneous here. And so these are tools to help us flow with communication. As worship leaders, we signal I didn't even bring that up. Forgot about that. There's times where we want to like go and flow, just spontaneously. So after a lot of times, like maybe after the song or even in the middle, we'll just like, yeah, cut the loop. And we'll like signal something. And this little mic up here is our cues that's happening live. So it's not just like we bought this online, multitracks.com, whatever, like it's going to just go through. Because sometimes you just feel like we need to go here, but it's going to be like verse 2, 3. We're like, no. Okay. Like cut that guy out. I'm going to just be like, you know, do the chorus or do the bridge or like keep that going. Bring it down, and we're kind of like directing. And so one of the terms for the cues person is a music director. And it just keeps us all together because sometimes you're not looking at the worship leader at that perfect time. Sometimes you get your eyes closed or you're looking at a pedal, you're switching something, or you're whatever. There's so many things that are going on while we're worshiping and as we're playing music together. And so to have someone just hear in their ear like, okay, guys, we're going to go do this, or like, like one time when Lindy Conant was here and the track went like out on the live stream by accident. So I like ran back. I'm like, we need to mute that channel because the guy's like playing keys and he's like, all right, we're going to freestyle. I'm like, I was like, I want to use that term. That's really good. But basically it was like there was a stewarding the Spirit. And using these tools to be excellent frees us. It doesn't restrict us. It takes us to a whole other level of unity that we've never seen before. And we thrive together in that. We thrive together in this community, in this support system, and even though you know we can thrive in community, there are times of solitude. Yeah, there are times of introversion. I don't know if you guys are introverts. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because you're an introvert, so you probably won't, because you know you draw your energy from escaping, and that is so good. Jesus went up to the mountain. And he drew from the Lord. That was his support system there to be like, I know who I am. I'm going to hang out with you, Papa. Okay. And now it's time to go down into the crowds. And he wouldn't be able to sustain just constantly ministering and giving if he didn't have that life source or that source of time to spend with the Father in the mountains. But you know, it's lonely at the top. That's a term I just kind of heard somebody say the other day. We don't want to stay there together. Or we don't want to stay there forever. Introverts would probably be like, I want to live in a mountain in Scotland with sheep. And that's it. Like, you know. But we are made for community too. Jesus wasn't a monk. You know, he was a friend. He was a brother. He was a teacher. He was a son. He was administering heaven to earth through this community, through this source of him being supply. So he brought 12 into his life, right? And they began a movement that has sustained for millennia. Like, that's wild. Because it's based on family. It's not based on religious duty, right? If we get caught up in that rat race of religious duty, we're just going to end up getting a little tired, a little weary. And like our support system, we need to partner with the Holy Spirit. It's so important to partner with the Holy Spirit. He, in John 14, 26, it says he's our helper. He's our biggest fan. He's like our coach. You know, Oliver had his first soccer game a couple weeks ago, and they put him in goal the first time. I don't think he's ever been in goal. So he's just kind of like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. He gets like afraid of the ball because this kid is like super good and like doing this whole like side thing. And Oliver's just like, whoa, what's happening? So we're like cheering. Like my whole family is there. And we're like, you can do it, Oliver. Don't let the ball go in. And he's like, yeah, yeah. So then the second time this kid comes around, same guy, he just like charges it and just smacks him right in the chest. And we're all like, yeah. Yeah, you did it. Little Ollie. And he's like looking on the biggest smile on his face because he knew what was true, because we were reminding him of what was true about himself. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He reminds us of who he is and then who we are, right? And we thrive on that support. Our God is the only one that truly satisfies. You know, people let you down, situations let you down. And in John 4:13, I just want to take a moment to look at what Jesus says to this woman that he meets at a well. So we can bring that up on the screen here. John 4:13, I'm just going to like just jump in to what Jesus says to her. And says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, speaking to the well water, the natural and physical actual water. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Wait, so the water that Jesus gives us will become in us a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So it's like this, I can't even like describe that, like living water, like wow. So basically when he is inside of us giving us what we need, we are sustainable because now this well of eternal life comes out of us and it doesn't ever run dry. So we have this like source that just never, ever ends. He is our source of sustainability. And so the second thing I want to bring up is healthy habits. What you're actively doing that allows you to thrive. Now, when Annie and I first got married, I just moved here from Toronto, and so I had like no credit, right? Like it's totally different system. Even though there are like you build your credit, blah blah blah, in Canada, I had nothing here because it just doesn't like translate over. So I'm like, oh, you know, that's the thing. You have to like build your credit. So I get a credit card, and then we just started like using it, and using it some more. And, you know, Annie had hers, I had mine. And what do you know? We're like getting into debt and had pretty poor habits. And so then we would call the credit card company and be like, what can you guys like do for us? Cause we're trying to like get out of this. And they're like, well, it looks like we have a promotion. So we're going to drop your interest rate from like what, 19% or something to like, I don't know, 7%. We're like, ooh, great. Okay. So that happens. They change it and we just keep going, spending more money on the credit card. 6 months later or whatever, 3 months later. Oh, wow. Look at that bill. What happened to our low interest rate? So we could like, you know, buy things and then sort of pay off the minimum payment. Let's call them up again. And we did this like over and over again until we were probably like over 10 grand in debt. Between the two of us. And one day we called up and we were like, hey, yeah, we were just wondering if you could like give us a promotion, you know, like some sort of like lower the interest rate so we can like help. Oh, I'm sorry. We don't do that anymore. Actually, like the rules have changed, laws have changed. And yeah, that's just not something that's available anymore. And we're like, okay, well, we got to get out of this mess. We're in a, like, how are we going to do this? So we just had to like change our mindset. Because this was like counter sustainable. This was like not really stewarding our money well. And so we had to change our pace. We had to change the way that we were living and adapt to like, okay, we're going to have to change like our standard of living, whatever we're doing, and get this habit out of our life, because it's not good. You know, during my bike rides, I'm constantly aware of my surroundings. And and my pace and how I can be adaptable to what's going on. And one of my favorite parts is I'm flying down this hill. It's like really, really steep. And before it actually like levels off, there's a right turn that I have to make. It's like 90 degree turn. So I'm like flying down probably like 30 to 40 miles an hour. I'm like chasing cars and I have to like brake. I have to like constantly like look at the intersection, like are there cars coming? And then like whip around this corner and suddenly I'm at basically the same like steepness, but going up for just a fraction of the length though, thankfully. So in that time I have to brake, I have to look at traffic so I don't get, you know, hit by anyone or cut anyone off. And then as soon as I turn, actually I have to stand up because I all this time going down the hill, I've got like, I've geared up and I'm just like, just powering down this hill. So now I got to power up this hill while shifting, while standing up. And I'm like, you know, the little train that could, like, I think I can, you know, breathing and, you know, shift needs to happen. Like people say, like shift happens, right? Things can change in an instant and you got to be on the ball. And sometimes you got to just like, remember like, okay, what is my pace right now? There's this really cool word because I'm a musician. I really like this word, cadence, tempo. It's falling into rhythm and knowing like, you know, sometimes I'm in an incline. Sometimes I'm just level off. What's my cadence there? Like, can I have like a healthy pace right now? What's my best pace to go in? Am I in the right gear for the moment? Am I aligned correctly? You see where the Lord's kind of like tugging on my heart on these kinds of things right now. Like, do I need to make any adjustments? Do I need to push through? Do I need to pull back? Do I need to get out of the saddle, as they say? It's like the weirdest thing. I don't ride horses, but okay. Sometimes you just got to stand up and like, right. Has anyone done like spinning classes or something? Like I've done that before and they're like, get out of the saddle. And you're like, okay, yeehaw. And I got to stand up. And then they make you stand and stand and stand, just like our message last week, to stand and then stand some more. And sometimes you get a call for backup. Sometimes you need a support. If you don't know what to do, you need to call that support system. Another thing was breathing. I did not think about like that until it was a little too late. And one of my friends was like, how are you doing? I'm like, I can't breathe right now. And they're like, okay, well, one thing you need to do is think about how you're breathing, because if you're just like not breathing, sometimes you just like kind of forget and you're focused and then you're like, oh my gosh, I can't breathe right now. And I'm not supplying my own body with what it needs. The oxygen needs to flow through my blood to every part, every muscle to empower it to do what I need to do, or else I'm not going to finish. I want to finish well. I need that oxygen to do that. I need all of that to come into alignment so that I can get to where I need to go. And so my friends aren't standing at the top of the hill being like, all right, he'll get here soon, while I'm like, I need to walk. Philippians 3 says to press on to what we're called to. And, you know, sometimes you can get waves of anxiety. And I've heard stories of people and myself too, like, I've had moments where I get so like anxious, I realize like, oh, I'm not breathing right now. Like I need to just pause and be like, oh my gosh, okay, that helps. Like, and when like Oliver and Ivy, my kids, like they're young and the smallest little thing, someone took my toy. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm laughing at you right now because it's like not a real big problem, but you're freaking out. Why are you freaking out? Okay. So then I just sat. I did this with Ivy yesterday. I was like, okay, let's just sit and let's breathe. Okay, do it again. Breathe. Okay, did that help, Ivy? No. Well, it helped me. Now I feel God's peace and I can just hold you while you're having a mess about your Elsa doll being, I don't know, if Oliver's taking your toys or whatever. I don't know. Oliver thinks he's like an action figure. I'm like, no. That's Elsa doll. You know, sometimes we can get caught up in projects at work or hobbies and things. And there's this balance that that we need to recognize, because we can get caught up in this rat race. You know, we can get caught up and lose our pace, and we're striving instead of being in stride. You know, oftentimes people will say like, oh yeah, I was working too late. Like, I'll work after hours, and I might like miss dinner, my family time, or forgetting something, and I miss like my kids having a soccer game, and I'm working too late. And there's the balance that we need to work on, because it's so easy to overcommit, right? Like there's times where your boss is like, we need to get this done, and you're going to stay late. You know, yeah, you're going to need to come in on Saturday, if you know Office Space. And sometimes we just can't say no. Sometimes we just don't have that, like that ability to balance and be like, no, this is my family time now. I'm going to honor this, and now I'm going to switch to this and go home. And ironically, it could be out of a fear of failure or a fear of rejection, but that fear holds us back from succeeding. Even though we're afraid to fail and we want to succeed, that's going to backfire on us. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't balance our life out. We can fail to delegate and ask for help. And honestly, one of the best things to do is ask for help. That's like the best kind of prayer, to be like, help, Lord, help me. The best habit to cultivate in our lives, because he has the solution. So let's go over to Matthew 11, verse 28. I'm going to go to the Amplified because it's louder. And because the Lord says, come, I will give you rest. That's his heart. It's to come, because he's got the solution. So let's read that together. It says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace, and I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as my disciple, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, blessed quiet for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light. And we find that when we come to him, he is more than happy to give us that rest, to refresh and renew us. Is that a habit in your life? Another thing is trusting the Lord, because he gives us strength. That's where we find strength in him. Let's look at Isaiah 40, 31. It's like one of my favorite verses too. It says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. He is our source of sustaining. Am I living out of a place of striving right now? Because I want to walk in stride with my Heavenly Father so that I can soar above all the noise with him. It's out of the overflow of knowing him personally that's where we find we can thrive and find sustainability. And so the third thing I want to bring up is fruitfulness. It's another indicator of a sustainable life. It's sustenance. I kind of liked that word. What is growing and flowing out of your life? You know, out of the current pace and place in my life, what am I expressing? What am I releasing out to the world? Because that has power. There's power in our tongues, in our words, and in our actions. So I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, I want my life to look like a wellspring and a garden. What does that mean? Well, don't you just think about those people that you're like, oh, I feel so refreshed when I hang out with that person. I feel so encouraged when I hang out with that person. I think of like Chris and Ben, you know, just people who like, you just want to be around, because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I feel so like light right now. I don't know. It's something about you, because they're a wellspring and because they're a garden. What does that mean? A garden. Actually, James Millo last week gave me that kind of idea. He said that we cultivate, we steward our territory. That the word husbandry meant to garden. I was like, oh, okay. And then he brought this visual, a trellis. He's like, in my marriage, I want to be a trellis for my wife, so that her life, her heart can grow, and I can be kind of that support for her to grow and to blossom and to thrive, and as well as my family too. There's a worship leader named Jonathan Helser I've been listening to a lot lately, and he says that his desire is that his family is like an orchard of kindness, that it would be fruitful and sustained for generations to come, so that his kids look back and be like, wow, like we have a family that is fruitful, that is sustaining and is like this orchard of kindness, of goodness, of patience, of joy, peace, love, faithfulness. We just, that's who our family is. And when other people think of our family, we think like, yeah, those guys, like, I want to hang out with them. Like, their family reunions must be pretty fun. And wellspring, I looked up, the definition means the head or source of a spring, a stream, a river. It's the fountainhead. It's a source or supply of anything, especially when considered inexhaustible. I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm reading like what Jesus said to the woman at the well. Like, this is a wellspring that is eternal life. It doesn't run dry. I want that in my life. I want my family to be like that, to operate like that. Because when our supply is from God, the overflow is inexhaustible. And we're in rhythm and step with God. We bring heaven to earth. We supply that in our spheres of influence, in our families. We become that wellspring because we tap tempo into the rhythm of God's heart from a heart of worship, not religious duties. Sustenance will flow. Families and communities will be blessed lives. And truth is, isn't that like, that just sounds like what the church is supposed to be, right? That we love one another. It's our ministry. We administer the kingdom. Like, we're an administration, if you will. I don't know. I want to propose that idea to you guys, you know? Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples of all nations. So our mission's pretty simple, to make him known. And there's no boundaries where the love of God can't go. So let's be that administration, because we're not going to tire out when he is our source. So I just want to ask if there's anyone here who feels like they've been striving on their own, just trying and trying on their own and just being like, I got nothing else to give. God invites us to his table. You know, we were just talking about communion and I'm like, oh, yes, the first supper. I love this. This is a new beginning, and there's a new beginning for you today. So we respond. It starts with just recognizing where you're at, asking for forgiveness, getting that clean slate, and choosing to turn things over to the Lord and just following him and saying, I'm going to turn around. You're going to be the Lord of my life. You're going to be my savior. And the Spirit of God is going to be my helper. Yeah, this is sinking in. So I just want to take a moment, actually. I just want to stand, actually. Let's stand. It's kind of like a moment to just, I don't know, if you put your hand on your heart, just connect with the Father. You sustain us, Lord. You sustain us. If anyone here, if you just feel like you're feeling like you're striving and you need to find your stride, your rhythm again, just say, Lord. Lord, help me. I'm going to stop striving. Let my life be sustainable at your pace, God. No, let... Show me where I need to shift my paces, my. Show me where maybe I've overcommitted and let other things kind of go by the wayside, Lord. I recognize that I need you. So will you just pray this with me? Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God. And I believe that you gave your life for me so I could have new life. I recognize my need for you, my sinfulness, and I ask for forgiveness. Thank you that you wiped the slate clean. To choose to turn to you, to follow you, and I ask for help. Send your spirit. Guide me, God. Teach me your ways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you are for us, not against us, that you cheer us on. Just like I'm shouting at my son as he's playing soccer, go, 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 you can do it. Our God is so for us. He's so that kind of person for us. So, Lord, today and this week, God, would you just begin to shift our rhythms of grace, connect us to your heart, surround us with a solid support system. If that's something that's in need, God, would you connect us? Show us even just one person that we can be like, look, I need to be real with you. This is what's going on. Will you pray for me? Do you have any advice? Or just, can you just sit and listen? Just share with one another so that I can be a wellspring of life, that it would overflow from within me. And we can be the administration of heaven on earth. So we pray we would be a blessing to our communities this week, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. We are going to thrive. Let's just say, I thrive. Thrive this week. And if you need any personal prayer up at the front, if you need ministry, our team is so happy to pray for you. They're on their way up.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.